Amen. Amen and amen. I'm going to read that passage again for the people that are now joining us as we go into prayer. If you can please get on your knees. Oh, and we're going to discuss something after church in fellowship too, in regards to what's happening with the work we're doing online, that is. And so, yeah, if you can kneel, please do so. It says this in Psalm 95, verses 6 to 8. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. 40 years they were in that wilderness. Thank you, Father, for having mercy upon us, as we have been in the wilderness much longer, 2,000 years, in fact, and we haven't been walking too well. And so we pray that you bless us with a greater portion of your Holy Spirit and renew a right spirit in all of us. We want to be ready in every way that means we will be worthy of the latter rain. So help us with our anger. Help us to become meek like Moses and your son Jesus, in fact. Help us to have faith that moves the mountains. Help us to have eyes that see even clearer than we already can see. And help us to share this truth with as many as we love. And we love all of them, including ones that hate us, because we know we're not fighting against their flesh or their blood. We're fighting against the demons around or in them. And so thank you, Father, for giving us eyes that see and a desire in our hearts to please you and to love you as you love us. Deep truly does calleth on to deep. And so thank you, Father, for forgiving us and blessing us with that latter rain when that day comes. And please bless everyone on our prayer list. And we offer this unto you in the name of your Son, who is forever our King, even now and for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, so again, well, we're going to share something after, I'm going to share something after church in regards to how things are going to be changing around here soon. There are browsers out there already that are turning Flash off. And so we already have I have a hybrid system built on a separate server, but again, we'll get into that later. I want, because there's going to be a lot of people here, I want to let everybody know just a quick way on how we're going to be able to get into the room for church services on Sabbath. And I would kind of, and for those of you that might have a little difficulty in doing it, sometime this week we should have a church meeting of everybody. Just invite everybody, say, or even Sunday, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever day of the week you want. And we'll all gather in this chat room, not the stream, but in this chat room, or maybe the stream, yeah, I don't know, and show how to get in to the new chat room. So we'll talk about that later. All right. And thanks again. Yeah, Brother Gorin. a female sheep is a ewe, E-W-E, you know, so a female bovine is a cow, and a male bovine would be a bull, and so male's a ram, female's a ewe, you know, E-W-E, so anywho, I forgot all about that, and let me try if I could find my notes. There we are. Okie dokie. Last Sabbath. I didn't expect this to go into two parts, and it's going to go into three, I'm thinking. and which is kind of difficult for me because next week is Q&A, and then after that is testimony service, and I got some testifying to do there, I got to say. And so I'll probably have to, well, if there is a part three, it's going to have to be on October something, the 3rd, I think. Yeah, that would be October 3rd. So, last Sabbath I shared what the Lord revealed regarding the prayer of those of us in the end of days as we stand in that perfect number. And then the very next chapter I came to in my morning studies was Isaiah chapter 32. And I don't plan it this way, just like I don't plan the sermons around the children's story or the sermons around what Sean or Andre or Eli are going to do on the mic. Or even Sister Mindy, because she comes up with these different studies every week in regards to, and, you know, how to bring the Ten Commandments into a clearer view for the children. But everything just flows. Well, quite a few times a year that happens, even though I don't plan. I don't have a structured Bible study, never have, never will. What I do is I'll go from Genesis to Revelation and then just start all over again. I just got out of Revelation, and now I'm back into Matthew. And so, but the way I do the Genesis to Revelation so I can get through the entire Bible in less than a year is I'll do two chapters in the First Testament and one chapter or more in the New Testament. And then, of course, depending upon the emails, which is every day, I'm all over the Bible. But that's topical. You know, and I love topical because I'll have a question, and I get to 9 times out of 10. I'll say 8 times out of 10, I have already done the study on that topic, and I'll send them the study I did. But if I haven't, I will do a quick study and send it to them, and that'll be on Q&A Sabbath. And we can have a Q&A Sabbath every Sabbath for the next year, and I still wouldn't be caught up with how many I have. Stored. I would think it would take a year to get through all those. But anyway, this morning I had just finished in Psalm. Where were we? In Psalms, I think it was 80. Yeah, Psalm 80. And then right after Psalm 80, I was going to jump over into, because I picked two chapters out of the First Testament, and then I picked, I only pick one chapter out of the First Testament. I always want to do one chapter as well as Psalms and or Proverbs. And so I'm always in Psalms and Proverbs. I love Proverbs because, it asks a question that gives you an answer right away. And so, that was my very first book as a Christian, was Proverbs. Well, John, and then, my first New Testament book. First Testament book. And I'm using the term First Testament to make a point. There's nothing old about it other than the fact that the covenant was changed, but only on the sin of mankind in regards to how certain things, everything else in the Old Testament, as everybody else calls it, is still valid. In fact, Jesus Christ and all the apostles, that's the only Bible they used when they preached, was what everybody calls the Old Testament today. And so again, last Sabbath, I share what the Lord was revealing regarding the prayer of those of us that are living in today's world with these last days, and how we have to get to a point where we're going to be able to stand in that perfect number. The 144,000, or the Gideon band, as we like to call them. And so this is what I saw in Isaiah 32. It is actually an answer to the prayer, if you think about it. This is so neat. Because the prayer is Psalm 80, right? And so Isaiah 32 is actually an answer to the prayer of the people of God who are going to pray what they prayed in Psalm 80. All that we in this last generation hope and pray for is in fact soon to be realized as fact. For it is written in Isaiah 32, verses 1 to 20, the following. And I'm going to, I'm just going to share the first two verses right off. But behold, it says. Let me scroll down, because we did up there in the room on the stream. There, okay, so there you are. You got Isaiah 32 on the screen. Hopefully there's going to be, like, if we ever find a new chat room. I'll talk about that later. So, verses 1 and 2. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and the covert from the tempest as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Think about this for a moment. A man becoming a hiding place shows us that the man is one with Christ in perfection, wherein even the plagues will not come nigh his dwelling. The obedient child of God will take part of that divine nature. After all, is it not written in Psalm 91:10, when it says, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling"? And if you want those verses, they're good. Well, hopefully you got your Bibles open to Isaiah 32. And then I'll just scroll this up for the remaining verses that I'm going to be jumping back and forth in. And then all those links. All those links down there are from last week's sermon, I'm thinking, most of them. Or maybe not. I don't know. I don't even know where I left off last week, to be honest with you, other than the fact that my notes, you know, as to what I was being moved to share, you know, I never know from one week to the next what the Lord's going to have me share. So I praise his name for that, because John 14:26 does play a big part in how I preach, because I can't memorize. He literally has to give me the verse. And so I praise his name for that. And but as we stand in and for the Lord, we will come to see that while the enemies of the Bible truth are all around us, just waiting for evil to come upon us, our God's going to watch over us and keep us in his promised hedge of protection. For it is he that will be to them as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And as we now know, the Gideon band will know what it is or what it means to stand with our Lord in such perfection that they will partake of the divine nature that made even Moses' face to glow. But right before it all ends, our entire bodies are going to glow as the lost and especially the apostate SDA people drop in worship before our feet, as it was prophesied they will do in the spirit of prophecy. But if you're in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the book wherein that quote resides will have been edited out, no doubt. And so as they do this blasphemous act upon us, none of us are going to be looking down at them as like, "Oh, that's cool." No. We're all about Christ. We're not going to be looking down at our feet and what they're doing down there. We are not interested in the flesh at all in any way. We overcame it. That's why we're in that number. No, we're only going to be looking up as our Lord comes to rescue us from their wicked plans. Because right now, as they're worshiping us, their plans failed. Their weapons have all, at that point, fallen useless at their side. And as we know, every lost soul will be overwhelmed by these plagues, but not the obedient bride of Christ. No. No getting around that reality. I mean, if it were not true, it would not be written as it was, like I just read from Psalm 91 about no plague coming nigh our dwelling. So while we stand in the coming hour of temptation, we are still to be tested, and our faith not only glorifies the Lord, our faith proves the promises of the Lord to be absolute. As promised, he will be our consolation, our support, our anchor, and the promised comfort for all of those of us that cry out to him and him alone in faith. Like when a lot of people, when they have a big trial or they make a big mistake, they all should have done as David did when Nathan came and got in his face about what he did with Bathsheba and her husband. He fell to his knees and cried out unto the Lord. But all too often, when people do sins like that, they fall to their knees and cry out to Satan to help them fabricate the perfect lie to cover it all up. And so their decision is made. They're headed towards the reprobate path. And so in faith, you know, for the Gideon band, when we cry out to him in faith, he will be unto us like the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And how is this even possible, you ask, when for the last 2,000 years most prayers have seemed to have gone unheard? Well, are we not called to be partakers of the divine nature? Is this not illustrated from Genesis to Revelation? I mean, seriously, even back in the days of Moses, we saw how after Moses destroyed the tablets of stone that were carved out and written by the Lord himself, no man involved yet. But notice that. Did not that prove mankind could not keep his covenant all on his own from day one? Seriously, even if you ignored that which happened at Sinai, you cannot deny what happened in Eden. And so, I just noticed how the study even came into play in regards to this sermon. But then, that too, again, wasn't planned. You know, because my notes got all messed up. I went over all this other stuff. And so, praise God that Eden is part of the situation as well when we're looking at it. But that which Jesus promised to do from the foundation of the world was to be an absolute fact. Maybe it was my Bible study this morning that I was doing for the church family 3 weeks from now, because I'm about 3 or 4 weeks ahead. But that which Jesus promised to do from the foundation of the world was to be an absolute fact, not only in the hearts that flourish in faith the last 6,000 years, but an absolute reality for those that stand firm even during the soon-to-come seven last plagues that even the Pope's a little antsy about. That's why he wants his climate change agenda to be a done deal by 2027. And he wants his one-world government done by 2030. There's a reason there is a telescope in Arizona pointed towards the Orion Nebula that has been named, the telescope that is, Lucifer. Because Satan knows the prophecies like us. He knows them better than us, in fact. But he doesn't know the day or the hour either. He knows what's supposed to be coming out of that nebula, though. And for those of you that don't know what's already started coming out, go to my Orion Nebula page on the website. We've been watching this for years. And yes, there is a cloud already coming out. Not to the point where you can see it is about the size of a man's hand yet. But even the scientists are saying something has blocked their view, especially when it got far close enough to where Betelgeuse now looks a bit dimmer. But again, that's a whole other story, or sermon, or study. But yes, we have to stand firm even during the plagues. We're going to be tested even then if we're part of that number. And yes, what happened in Eden proved the need for salvation and confirmed the promise. And this is especially so when the little lamb was killed to make clothing for Adam and Eve, depicting the Lamb of God, who was to take away the sins of the world. But here, not too long after, we see a people, a nation no less, given a godly name, which was Israel, when they made their promise to keep God's law at the base of the mountain in the days of Moses, they failed miserably in less than a month. So as they openly, they broke the covenant between God and man. Moses then broke those tablets, proving that which was promised at the foundation of the world and even before Adam and Eve had to be done as promised. I'll explain that. But first, how does this illustrate the divine nature? That we find ourselves in the number, you know, if we find ourselves in that number, how does this explain this? How does this bring to light the divine nature for the Gideon band? Well, looking how Moses only broke the tablets made by God, we also see all of Israel broke the commandments in their flesh. Okay, and what I mean is Moses, a mere man, had to now carve the tablets out of the blue sapphire stone. That's right, the commandments, the Ten Commandments, are the same color as the sky. That's why when you look up, you're reminded of his law. So, and yes, it's in the scripture. It does say blue sapphire stone. So, the second set of tablets. But Moses, before I go there, he had to carve those tablets out of that stone on his own. Then, as we know, the Lord himself had to again writes the law on those tablets with his divine hand. In other words, the second set of tablets clearly illustrated man and God working together as one, just as Jesus Christ did when he came as Messiah. He is the original divine nature, illustrator or teacher, if you will. I mean, God on earth, God and man. And so he walked in our very same body in perfect obedience to his Father and our Father. Jesus walked with his Father in perfection so as to teach us that the 144,000 will soon do the exact same thing when they take part of the promised divine nature of man and God working together as one. That is why only the Gideon band can sing that song, for it was prophesied in Revelation 14, verses 1 to 5. It's right there on your screen. It says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile," not even exaggeration. Think about that. No guile. "For they were without fault before the throne of God." And so, just as the mindset to wander around looking for scriptures to and fro, not finding them, as the prophet Amos said is going to go down when the plagues begin, that mindset has to be cultivated before the plagues actually begin. It's not going to be a magical event. They have to be reprobate. The censer still has to be dropped. And so the only way the censer can be dropped in the Most Holy is for it to be done. Reprobate on one side and 144,000 on the other. And there's going to be billions. So now you can see why Jesus said it'll be like it was in the days of Noah. 8 people in the ark and how many millions on the planet dying outside of it. Because I don't think we reached the billions by then. You know, I'm not a populationist, so I don't know. But I have read some information on it, and they're thinking it was in the hundreds of millions. It wasn't in the billions. And so, when we look at the Gideon band in Scripture, do they not show the same divine nature of man and God working as one? I mean, this is what Jesus illustrated was possible for all of us that are alive in these last days when he walked among us. That's why he was without spot or wrinkle on the cross. We can get there. Not all of us. This is what was prophesied all along. And this is why only the 144,000 are going to be able to sing that song. So, notice this. And I speak to the precious souls still trapped in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, as well as all the other ones, but rightly so to the Seventh-day Adventist Church when I say this, because they had the truth at one time. You and every single one of your pastors and leaders have openly declared that to me and many others in writing on the phone or in sermons and even in some YouTube videos and face-to-face that you know your church is in apostasy. It is defiled. You are defiled by that woman, by being in that church. The Gideon band will not be defiled by any false church. That's what the prophecy, with the woman in prophecy, that's why they're called virgins. Because they're not defiled by those fallen churches, those apostate churches. And you and us and everybody else that study Scripture know, as well as the Spirit of Prophecy declares, which have been edited out, and I have a page on sdaapostasy.org that shows them all that were edited out regarding Babylon. Let me see if I put it in here. Yep, there it is, link number 13 and 14, I believe. Yeah, 13 and 14 right there on your screen. And so, but yeah, and here's the link if you want to, oops, I just moved it. If you want to go to this page, let me see if I can highlight. Oh, we can't highlight in here. This is a, yeah, it's up there where I'm blinking. I don't know, is it blinking? I don't see it. Yep, yeah, it's going to blink. There it goes, it moved. Boy, is there lag. Because what I'm saying here is definitely taking 5 to 8 seconds to be set in the stream. And so, but again, notice this. And again, this is to the SDA people. You know your church is in apostasy. You have admitted it to everyone. You have admitted it to the entire world. In every venue known to man, from videos on YouTube to just face to face. And you know that both Scripture and the spirit of prophecy does declare that apostasy is in fact the main fruit of Babylon in all the churches that follow her lead. It's not, we're not calling the Seventh-day Adventist Church Babylon. We are calling it a sister to Babylon, though, as Scripture and spirit of prophecy says on this. But nary a single Seventh-day Adventist pastor will ever share, and most of them are, these quotes from in spirit of prophecy are not even found in their books. Again, those are, that's links number 13 and 14. So in closing, when it says, maybe this will take a little more than, probably 5 minutes to share this thought, maybe six. What it says of the Gideon band, that they are not defiled of women, we understand this as not, you're not going to be in those churches when those plagues begin. You're just not going to. You're not going to be in those churches years before those plagues begin. You should get out of those churches now, because pretty soon we're not going to have years. We're going to have months. We don't even have decades now. If the Pope gets what he wants, we don't even have 10 years. We got about 9 years and 3 months if he gets his wish for the one world government. I'm not talking about the buy and sell thing. That goes much, he does that sooner. And if he, now think about this too as well. If he gets his wish, let's say they drag it all the way out to 2027. Odds are he could probably get it done by 2025 or 4. But let's say they drag it out and he doesn't get the climate change agenda goes down and it says you got to keep Sunday holy, otherwise all these calamities are going to get worse and worse and worse. And they do, because they're enforcing a law to break God's law, right? If that goes down in 2027, that means the loud cry will have gone down beforehand. Because that's what they do to shut us up, or try to anyway. Think about that. We have a lot less time to get busy than they have to get dead, if you will. And so, if you're in an apostate church, which means every single solitary Protestant church out there, including the SDA church now, including, you know, the Catholic Church and, of course, the Islamic thing and the Buddhists and all that, then you're never going to be in that 144,000. You're not going to be there. You're going to be found wanting even during the plagues, and you will die only to arise again at the end of the 1,000 years and weep and gnash your teeth when the strange act of our God turns you into ash. There's no getting around the fact that you know the church is in apostasy. You know this. And you know the prophecy says that the 144,000 are not going to be defiled by apostate churches. They won't be in them. So that all being said, how on earth can the Lord our God choose any of us to be part of that perfect number if while on this earth, wherein his will is to be done down here as it is in heaven, you know, the outline, where is it, Matthew 6, what they call the Lord's Prayer, that's an outline for prayer. Proof? Well, see John 17. That whole chapter is a prayer. And it runs the outline that Jesus shared in his Sermon on the Mount, which was chapter 6. The sermon's chapter 5, 6, and 7. And so, How can we be chosen if we refuse to leave Babylon or any of the sister churches? And on top of that, how can we even hope to step into New Jerusalem? Check this out in Revelation 21:27. Put it on the screen for you, those of you in the stream there. Revelation 21:27. There it is. I only got one more verse to go, so we're almost done. 21:27. And there shall in no wise, and this is talking about the people that step into New Jerusalem, or heaven as most people call it, right? But it says, and there shall in no wise, and in other words, today's language, in no way is this happening. There shall in no wise enter into it, heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, that's homosexuality, and any kind of blasphemy, obviously, or maketh a lie. Think about that. And then he finishes by saying in the prophecy, but they that were rich, which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, the only way to get into the Book of Life is to get into the city of heaven, and the only way to get into the city of heaven is to be in a bit, you know, the Book of Life. And then when they be in the Book of Life is to confess all sins before you die, or before that eastern sky splits, or overcome the flesh before the plagues hit. I mean, because a lot of people are going to die and still make it to heaven because they can't stand with the Gideon band. They don't have the wherewithal, but the Lord knows their hearts, and in given in time, they will be able to have that walk. I mean, come on, now you got a whole eternity to walk it, you know, to perfect it, and it'll be a lot easier to do so when your heart and your eyes can see truth. But that's not, we should have that now on earth before we get to heaven. But when you think about this, making just a lie, that's an invasive thing. I mean, the lie was the first sin. Satan lied to himself with his prideful attitude, and then he lied to a third of heaven and got them to fall, and then he lied to Adam and Eve, and he's been lying ever since. And now you got those all sorts of lies out there in the world today, from the pulpit, you know, to the family dwelling. I mean, but anyway, Revelation 21:27. I mean, that verse alone describes a Seventh-day Adventist church to a T. Are they not defiled by being one with Rome from not just embracing their pagan holidays, but they have dozens of Sunday-keeping churches all over the world now? And I got a video all about this. I don't think I put the video in the links, though. But the Seventh-day Adventist Church, people don't even know that their tithing, a portion of their tithing, goes to the Pope. We got it on paper. Actual Seventh-day Adventist letterhead and Vatican letterhead, where they are accepting tithes from the Seventh-day Adventist Church and their one world church. And as for the abominations, well, just to name a few for the sake of time, have you seen the videos of Seventh-day Adventist leaders calling homosexual America, homosexual marriage being, you know, okay, justified, no big deal, it's a lifestyle, it's okay? If not, see link number 15. For those of you that go to this page there, link number 15. Loma Linda, SDA pastor or minister, promotes homosexual marriage on camera, no less. Okay, and so, or what are the Seventh-day Adventist Church sending tithe to the Pope? I did put that link in here. I didn't think I did, so it's here in my notes. That is link number 16. And what are the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Now, these are just three of hundreds of articles and stuff that I have on sdeapostasy.org, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to share these three. But what are the fact that the Seventh-day Adventist, this is one of the first times one of my videos got an awful lot of play in Seventh-day Adventist circles when I made that video, where the SDA Church is actually defending the Pope and declaring him no longer to be considered Antichrist, and even removing his title from history as Antichrist. If you don't believe me, see that video on link number 17. SDA Church defends Antichrist. And as for making a lie, not only is there 1980 changes to their statement of faith wherein they added the Vatican Trinity to their dogma a lie, they have edited the Spirit of Prophecy books wherein they removed pertinent information as well as added Jesuit theology to lure the people off the well-lit path to Christ. Worse yet, they also use and promote Vatican-approved and edited Bibles like the NIV with thousands of verses missing. I should have put that link on there on my bogus Bibles page on the website. So the remnant people know his word is not to be sidestepped or even belittled or changed in any way. And so when I see the Gideon band, I see them as they are described here in Isaiah, as those obedient people of the ever-living God of the Bible, such a man or woman that partakes of the divine nature at this time. One who walks in Christ perfectly reminds me of the patriarchs and prophets of old, but even more so. I mean, because these patriarchs and prophets of old, they would never think to sit with non-believers in worship. No, they would expose them, as is their duty. That's why I have pages on the website, like that Hirelings page on the website. I'm going to be updating it, but I haven't had a chance to. Hirelings page on the website exposes leaders in the church, not individuals. That's Matthew 18. You're not going to see anything on my website about slamming or exposing, better yet, a Christian, but by the grace of God, there go I, right? So we all, it's an individual thing. But when they stand before the people as leaders in the church, we are declared by God in Ephesians 5 and 1 Timothy 5, 1 Timothy 5 as well, to expose them, just as John the Baptist called them vipers and Jesus called them hypocrites. We have to expose them for the sake of the little ones that are being lured off the path because of them. That is our duty. And we have to do it the biblical way. You can't just get up there and say, oh, I don't like this preacher, so I'm going to expose him. No, you got to have the two or three witnesses. In our case, we have a lot more than two or three. But, you know, just so you know. So look back. I mean the truth we present is going to anger these lost souls who think they are Christians to the point that they will do all they can to remove us from the world so as to please their dying God and, of course, calm down their guilt. But look back and you're going to see that the patriarchs and prophets of old walked in perfect peace. And they too trusted the words of those prophets before them, who slowly but surely spoke of the five books of the Bible that Moses was inspired to pen, that literally became 66 books that we hold dear to this day. All of us, myself included, have a lot of work to do in our walk. And so as we pray for you, please pray for us, so that we can declare in unison when the eastern sky splits, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And that, of course, was Isaiah 25, verse 9. Next Sabbath, we're going to pick it up again in Isaiah chapter 32, because I'm obviously going to have to go three parts now, but not next Sabbath. It'll be 3 weeks from now. So what is that? The 10th. And so, yeah. Oh, no, that'll be the 3rd. No, wait. No, it'll be the 10th. That's right, because Testimony Sabbath is going to be the 3rd. And so we'll pick it up again at Isaiah 32:3 to see how it is prophesied regarding the obedient remnant who will become the Gideon band that stands 144,000 strong in number to glorify the ever-living God of creation. And I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.